Well, we often quote the Bible, don't we? Why do we do that? What is so special about this book? The Bible is the single most important book ever written. It is an eyewitness account of historical events of such magnitude that they have literally shaped the world in which we live. Without this book, the Western world and a good deal of the Eastern world would be completely different today than if the events of this book had never occurred. It is not too much to say that the events recorded in this book are claimed by a significant percentage of people who have ever lived on this earth to be the most important event ever recorded in history of the world. This book is a foundational to just about everything mankind will ever know or accomplish. The Bible has been read by more people than any other book in the history of the world. It has outsold every book that has ever been written, and it still sells more copies each year than any other book in the world. Why is the Bible so important? Well, first of all, we can say the Bible is the greatest book ever written. God is the author of this book. We do not say that the Bible contains the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. And that reminds me of a minister I heard saying before he read the scripture readings, "Let us listen for the Word of God." As much as to say, some of what I'm going to read is the Word of God and other parts are the Word of man. This is the book. It is 66 books in the Bible, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. But the Bible is one book. And God is the author. This book is God-breathed. As God is the creator of man, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul, so God has breathed out the Holy Scriptures and caused them to be written down to become a living book. The authors were so possessed by the Holy Spirit that they wrote under the divine control and very much God himself. This does not mean that he used the writers like robots or machines, that they had to write down word for word what he dictated. Rather, the authors were given the freedom of their own expression, but under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, it is in its authority, it stands above men or creeds in the church. We are subject to Scripture. When we read the Old Testament, we often read those words, "Thus saith the Lord." Here, the writers claim to have received a message from the Lord. And the New Testament writers accepted the Old Testament as the Word of God. Jesus Christ said, "Till heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass away from the law until all is accomplished." And whenever we come to the New Testament, Paul says, "If anyone thinks that he is a prophet, he should acknowledge that what I am writing to you is a command of the Lord." And again he said, "We thank God that when you received the word of God which you have received from us, you have accepted it not as it is the word of man, but what it really is, the word of God." Therefore, the teaching of the prophets, of Jesus Christ, and of the apostles all claim the Bible to be breathed out word of God. We should read it and we study it and with great respect. And have a desire to hear what God wants to say to us through it. But then again, we can say that this book helps us to know about Jesus Christ. Joanna was telling us about the Muslim faith. Whenever we read the Bible tells us who Jesus Christ is. His name has been used to bless people, and it has been used as a curse word by those who despise him. People have been healed and set free in his name. And one thing is for sure, when you meet Jesus Christ in the pages of this book and understand who he claims to be, it is impossible for you to remain indifferent to him. This story is either the biggest fraud ever perpetrated on mankind, or it describes Jesus as exactly who he claims to be, the supreme Lord and ruler over all mankind and the very creator God himself. It would be something wonderful if Jesus Christ could come and join with us here this morning as he joined with the disciples. But he is not here in bodily form. So the only way that we can know his teaching is to read this book. So the New Testament is a record of what he taught and of his disciples. And after Jesus' resurrection, he was talking to two men on the road to Emmaus. He rebuked them for not understanding what the prophets had spoken concerning himself. Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So if you want to know about Jesus Christ, then you read and study this book. If you want to know what he did and what he taught, then you read this book. If you want to see how he changed men and women's lives, then you read this book. You read about a man called Saul who went about everywhere trying to stop people speaking about Jesus Christ. He put them into prison, but one day he met Jesus Christ personally. His whole life was changed, and he became a new man. And his name was changed to Paul, and he started to go out and to preach about Jesus Christ. He no longer persecuted the believers. He now joined them. His whole life and character was changed. And that is what Jesus Christ can do, and that is what this book can tell us. Yes, he can change lives. If you want to read about a famous president or a king or a head of state, you read a book in history. But if you want to read about God, then you read the Bible. People are free to reject this book and what it says. God made us free moral agents to choose as we desire. Yet people violate the teaching and the wisdom of this book at their own peril. Because of the main person in this book, Jesus of Nazareth, time has been split into two parts, B.C., before Christ, and A.D., Anno Domini, from the year of our Lord. And each year now, over 1 billion people celebrate his birth, they celebrate his death, they celebrate his bodily resurrection from the dead. Jesus is the only religious leader ever to make the claim that he has risen from the dead. All others are dead and buried. Abraham is dead. Moses is dead. Muhammad has died and remains dead. Buddha has died. Gandhi is dead. Only Jesus Christ claims to be alive. And half the world today accepts that Jesus was a great and remarkable person. But then again, if you want to be a message of comfort, you read this book. We live in a world of tears. We live in a world of sorrow. We live in a world of headache, but the Bible speaks and gives us comfort to every heart. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Come unto me, all you are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. For the Lord has made heaven and earth. This is what we want to hear in the hour of sorrow and in the hour of need. In the hour whenever the heart is breaking, we are not interested or concerned about philosophies. We want the Word of God. We want to know what He is by our side. How often have we not heard John chapter 14 read when in trouble and at a funeral service? Yes, we lose our nearest and our dearest on earth. We still have the best friend left, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who understands the deepest needs of the heart. And so the Bible brings a message of comfort, brings a message of peace, brings a message to the sorrowing heart. But then again, the Bible has a message of encouragement for the defeated. It matters not if it was Abraham or Moses or Joshua or David. These men knew defeat, and we all know defeat. God spoke to them. And God will speak to you and to me. Jonah tried to run away from God. He was afraid. He was a defeated man. He was trying to escape from the presence of God and the work that God had given him to do. But in the providential work of God, Jonah was brought back and did that task that God had originally called him to do. John Mark tried to escape his duty. He left Paul and Barnabas and went home, but something happened, and John Mark came back. Yes, here is a message of encouragement. Do you feel defeated? Do you feel that you can go no further? Do you feel that you're like Elijah, can just stop and die? If you feel like that, you have got just as far as you can go. Then it is time to get encouragement from the Word of God. And the Word of God will give us encouragement to build us up and to get us going again. The Bible has a message for the doubting heart. Thomas, one of the 12, expressed his doubts when Jesus arose from the dead. The disciples saw the Lord and were glad, but Thomas was absent. They told him that they had seen the Lord, and Thomas said, "Except I see in his hand the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand in his side, I will not believe." And 1 week later, the disciples met again, and Thomas was with them. And the Bible gives those wonderful words, "Then Jesus came. He came through the closed doors, and he stood in the midst, and he said, 'Peace be with you.' And afterwards, Thomas declared, 'My Lord and my God.'" Time and time again, we have stories of comfort. We have stories to help those in the time of need. And the Word of Jesus can calm the troubled heart. The Word of Jesus can strengthen the doubting heart. As we are reminded, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Many who have genuine doubts can have those doubts removed by reading and studying and holding to the Word of God. Then again, the Bible has a message of salvation. Within the covers of this book, there's a message so clear that the wayfaring man, though fools, shall not err therein. We all know the Bible can tell us how things were in the beginning, how God's creation was perfect, and how sin entered into the world. This act of disobedience caused a separation between God and man. And as a result, sin entered into the hearts of man, and man became separated from God. And this book shows us the seriousness of sin and how God will punish the sinner. This book tells us about sin and the results of sin. It tells us about God's hatred for sin. And there is nothing more serious or important in our life than the question, what are we going to do with the sin in our life? And this book tells us what we can do. This book tells us how we can get rid of our sin. Many people know what sin is, but it does not worry them. Talk to those who are going around two by two in the doors of a huckle, and they will tell you that people will say they have no interest in these things. They want nothing to do with it. Others know that they are sinners, but they do not know what to do about it. They want to change their way of life, but they do not know how to do it. They no longer want to be separate from God, but do not know how to remove the great burden of sin from their heart. But if we read the Word of God, you will know what to do with your sin. The Bible tells us how to be born again. It tells us how to become a new person in Christ. There's not one person in this church building today who does not know that they need to be saved and how they can be saved if only they would do something about it. How shall ye escape if ye neglect so great salvation? That's what the Word of God says. How shall ye escape if ye ignore so great salvation? That's what this Bible says. But then again, this book also shows us how the Christian should live. This book gives clear instructions and guidance on how we should live. The Christian can no longer live an immoral life. He can no longer live a dishonest life. He can no longer live a selfish life. Much is expected and demanded from the Christian. But there are those who claim to be Christians and they are not following the instructions from this book. Jesus says, "You're not your own, you're bought with a price." And so the Christian belongs to Christ. And if that really applies to us and we really experience it, then the lives of many Christians would be vastly different. Every Christian should read this book and seek to apply its teaching and its instruction to his or her life. But then again, we should not forget this book has the same message for every century. The message of the Bible has not changed from the first century to the 21st century. There have been many attempts of man to update the Bible. Now, speaking to the children about different versions of the Bible, Bibles are written omitting certain portions or trying to change it to suit the 21st century generation. What foolishness! You cannot change the Word of God. The Word of God is the eternal Word of God. It remains the same. And remember, the Bible itself has something to say about those who try to change it. In Revelation 22 and 18 it says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." Our Bible is true from the first word in Genesis, in the beginning God, to the last word in Revelation, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with God's people, amen. The Old Testament was received by the Lord Jesus Christ and quoted again and again. Man may deny the story of Jonah, but our Lord Jesus Christ believed and quoted it. Here in this book is the message of God for every generation. Oh yes, we change, and the government changes, and the church policy changes, and church rules change, like we heard in the news was happening over in Scotland. But we cannot change the Word of God. It is a living, true Word of God. It cannot be changed. It must not be changed. And no matter what people may try to do, we cannot accept change in the Word of God. This book is also a message for every nation. That message is righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. When nations set themselves against God, they are destroyed. When nations ignore God, then they soon come to weakness. We've seen this in history, time and time again. Strong warning needs to be given to this nation of ours. The leaders of this nation are turning away from God. David Cameron, Jeremy Corbyn, and many other leaders, God is forgotten, and his worship is ignored, and constituency work and parliamentary work has been done on the Sabbath day. Almost every sporting fixture is taking place on a Sunday. What happened last Sunday? They didn't see their match, did they? The Lord's Day is to be kept holy. Tens of thousands of people went to see a match, but it came to nothing. The Lord's Day is to be kept holy. And many other laws have been passed by the government that affects all of our lives, and yet it is going on year after year. The laws of the nation are being changed to go against and defy the laws of God. Laws that were given for the good of mankind, and even now we are having the two people of the same sex being married and demanding their rights and including the right to adopt a child. This nation has been blessed of God and blessed of God because of one reason. The Lord was recognized and honored. But when the nation turns away from God, our sins will not be overlooked, and we will suffer. When Israel sinned, Israel paid the price. Yes, the Bible is tough on sin, and the Bible has a message for all people. We may try to vary the message in presentation and in content, but the various nations and tribes and languages of the world, throughout the world, not the Word of God. The Bible is the same for every generation. And whether that be in Nigeria or Burkina Faso or Chad or wherever that may be, the Word of God is still the same for every tongue, every nation, and every people. And this applies to every nation and every color. The Bible is the Word of God. And the Bible calls men and women from every nation to repent and believe and be saved. There's just one way of salvation, and it applies to all mankind. And no matter the language, no matter the color, no matter the background, no matter the circumstances, they're all in. And it's stated and restated by the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we need to recognize the Word of God. Jesus told Zacchaeus, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. There's only one way to be saved. There's only one Savior. And we find it in the Word of God. And we must tell people of Jesus Christ, who alone can save, who alone can change lives. The Bible has withstood vicious attacks by its enemies as no other book. Many have tried to burn it. They've tried to destroy it. They've tried to outlaw it from the days of the Roman empires to the present day. And Antichrist countries, its very existence today and the fact that its teaching and truths have been preserved despite the countless campaigns and trials against it. And it's itself miraculous. The Word of God has been preserved down through the years and down through the generations. Discovery after discovery by modern archaeologists have confirmed and have proved the Bible's absolute accuracy and have proved it to be the source of history. In fact, it can be stated categorically, not one archaeology discovery has ever contradicted or cast doubt on a biblical reference. All have confirmed its accuracy. Today, we are encouraged to read the Bible because it is the inspired Word of God. Read it to hear God speaking to you. Read it to know what Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, wants to tell you. Read it whenever you have doubts. Read it whenever you have fears. And read it whenever you have a need in your heart. No problem is too great for this book to solve, not to solve. Obedience to the teaching of this book will solve every need and give peace with God. Read it to know what to do with your sin. Read it to know whenever you have a burden to be removed. Read it if you're a Christian to grow in the Christian life. Read it if you're not a Christian to know how to become a Christian. This book has the answer. This book is for every generation. This book is for every language. This book is the most wonderful book in the world. It is up to date. It is relevant for today. And the message it contains can change millions of lives in past generations. And many are coming to faith in Christ even this day as a result of the power contained in this book. And it can change your life today. May God take it and use it for His own glory. May we read it and apply it to our lives. Let us pray. Eternal God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank You for those in generations past who suffered so much to give us the Bible in the English language so we can read it and so that we can study it. And we thank You for the message that this Bible contains. We pray that we will go home today with that desire in our heart to honor it, to respect it, to turn to it, and to use it to bless our lives and use it to have a standard for our living. Undertake, O Lord, we pray. We do remember the countless millions who do not have a Bible in their own language. We pray, O God, that You will be with the Bible translators, the British and Foreign Bible Society, and many others, Bible societies, who are seeking to translate the Scriptures into the language of the people. We thank You for those who have recently done. And we pray, Lord, that You'll bless that Word as it's been read by the people in those various languages. We thank You for all the gospel Word has gone forth. And we pray that that Word will continue to change lives throughout the world. For we ask it all in our Savior's name. Amen.